Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
And I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie, and I'm struggling with one of them, I don't know, some kind of huge head cold slash ear infection that I cannot get resolved. But
that's my darling daughter.
Yes, I'm Julie, and everything sounds like...
An echo chamber?
No, more like one of the parents from Charlie Brown.
Wow.
Wow. And so it's very annoying. And then this week has been crazy because once in a while mom will say to me, you just seem a little crabbier than usual. And I wish you weren't. No, you didn't ask me what's going on. You're like, I wish you weren't so crabby right now.
I'm I did say that.
And I'm like, geez, Louise, I wish you weren't such a judgmental bitch. No. I go, what about those apples? But luckily, I'm able to catch my tongue quicker than that. And I go, oh, you know what, Mom? I'm so sorry. I'm struggling with my ear thing. And like, oh, good to know. Good to know that was the reason why.
Well, it did help knowing that because it was so out of character for you.
Right.
You know, you're just this, darling daughter.
Sure I am. I'll take
and,
that.
And, and all of a sudden you're and then I didn't realize that you're struggling. I mean, I know you've had this ear infection thing, and we just thought it would burn itself
right
out. And it's not.
It's not, no.
So we're going to have to do something about it.
Right. I remember taking this one course years ago about health, and this one doctor said, truly, 2 weeks, things usually work itself out.
Yeah, they
and
resolve
itself. I kind of hold that to be true, and that's really the truth.
And has it been 2 weeks
yet? Sort of 2 weeks. I've been uncomfortable for so long. And the weird part is I'm not in pain, but it's just annoying to have... to hear the world so differently.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had the Lyme disease years ago. Sorry. I would see the world so differently because of my neuritis.
Neuritis,
yes.
You had double vision.
I had double vision, and I also had a blind spot. So I had things that were dipping.
Yeah.
Because my brain was filling in spots, and it was like, oh, that's interesting. And so...
But you know what I always say about you? You had this amazing brain.
You do tell me that. And oh my God, this is going to be really personal. I'll share it anyway. What the hell?
I don't know.
Maybe I shouldn't share it. What? I don't know. Because I know it's not like it's a drag. Because I don't have kids of my own.
Right.
But when I was growing up, I always thought I was going to have children. I mean, there was never a part of my body that thought I wasn't going to have kids. So being this tender age I am now and not having children.
The tender bloom.
I was listening to this one NPR story. And they were talking, they had these women talking about their childbearing years and how a lot of them had gone through many miscarriages or many tries and how devastating it was for them. Mm-hmm. And to never be able to, all this stuff. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I have been so blessed to not feel that way.
Right.
I mean, growing up, I always assumed I'd get married and have kids and life would go this way. Mm-hmm. If you're young and listening to me, it does require some preparation.
Well, I remember you're one of your best friends.
Yeah.
And you went to college with her and she was a pretty good friend.
Yeah.
And right after college, she just announced that she was going to get married.
Yeah.
And have children. And she just, there was just this
It was
one,
a race on.
It was this one guy.
Yeah.
I kind of felt he was a little, I just want to say slow.
Right.
But she chose him and within a few months they got married.
Yep.
And then within a month or two she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's what she wanted.
It was
just like a mission.
It was a mission.
I'm on a mission.
And I never took childbearing or marriage as a mission. I thought it would naturally happen.
Yeah, you just thought.
And that did not occur for me.
Right.
And so I was thinking, literally, I was in this consciousness listening to these stories, and I'm going, holy shit, I have been blessed with not this burden of feeling so horrible about this in my life.
Right.
And it could be because I have... faux stepchildren, because I never married Doug, but I could be because I have faux grandchildren. I have the benefits without the worry and the hassle.
You're just a faux girl.
I'm a faux girl. Yeah. Faux meaning, how do you spell
I always
faux?
Think there's still time.
Yeah. Yes. There's time. I'm to the point now where I'm getting advertisements to be, hey, why don't you be a foster grandparent?
Right.
I'm like, fuck you, please. Foster grandparenting. Great. They said some criteria, though, is you cannot have any financial. They're not paying you to be a foster grandparent.
Right.
You are supposed to open up those purse strings.
Oh, really?
And,
really?
Yeah, and show the kids.
You love them.
Love them and, like, what, you know, spoil them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're not giving you money, supposedly. Mm-hmm. They basically say no financial.
Well, that's kind of what grandparents do, right?
Right.
They're just supposed to spoil.
You're kind of supposed to.
But ours or mine, they're just already spoiled. So it's like well, what can you do?
Well, because the generation's so different.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, everything was a novelty.
Yeah.
Nobody has. I mean, everybody talks about how the kids. No kid has a novelty anymore.
Well, I know. Everything like is my grandparents accessible. Were like, "Oh my God, they would get me this, or it was something special,
right?"
And you know that my parents couldn't afford or anything right. like that, and it was
or
like,
wouldn't afford.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, they wouldn't get that for you.
Yeah, yeah. Because but now I mean, like, everything
they have
is accessible.
Everything.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You know, you just do. You just like turn it off.
Well, you don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's like I look at even getting gifts for Hillary and Quinn, who are adult people.
Yeah.
They need nothing.
Right.
They want nothing. And if they want something, they'll go to Costco and buy it.
Right.
You know, their kids.
Right.
You know, they need nothing. They want nothing. If they want to get something, they go and get it. And it is very weird to think, like, what do you get kids now? How do you celebrate the novelty of life?
Yeah, and there really isn't anything.
No.
And most kids just want something electronic.
Yeah.
A zero.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
By zero?
And you're all about the ones.
Yeah. I'm all about, I'm 50-50.
Right.
You know, 50-50.
Like I said, you said I had a good brain. I agree with
you. You have an amazing brain.
I think to myself.
You know, I'm amazed at your brain.
I appreciate that.
How many times a week do I go?
Yeah, amazing brain.
You have an amazing brain.
I think as I'm hearing you talk, though, I realize now.
You probably hear me like this.
Yeah,
brain,
that's exactly right. Really? I hear my. But I must think of something in an odd way. And you go, oh, your brain's so amazing. And it's a sly. well, good job, Julie, for thinking about it this way. That's really looking for that pony in that pile of shit, you know? I don't know why. Somehow, when I was born, God said, Julie, everywhere you look, you'll find a pony. I don't know why.
My little pony.
Yeah, my little pony.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a story this week, which I found.
On Dan Savage?
No, this is a Brad Pitt story.
Ooh. I got a Dan Savage story.
Do you want to tell me that first?
Well, it's just it's an older couple story.
Okay.
It's an older couple COVID success story.
Oh, I love success stories. Success stories.
Success stories.
COVID success stories. Yeah. Go for it.
And Dan always starts out his show with
on the Savage Love Cast.
The Savage Love Cast with a COVID success story.
Yeah.
And this just happened to be an older couple. In their 70s,
yeah,
living in a retirement community in right. a condo mm-hmm. in Florida.
Yeah.
So there, that sets it up.
Sets it up.
And
I thought to myself, condo really or more trailer park? Because there are tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of trailers parks for seniors in Florida.
Well, also in Arizona.
In Arizona.
That's where the big ones are.
But some people still feel like oh, I don't want to say I live in a trailer park because that has a weird connotation.
Yes, but
I'm telling you.
My aunt lives in a trailer park, and she would like kill me if she heard you say, or me say, trailer park.
Right, that's right.
It's a mobile, a 55-plus mobile park. Something like
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I'm like, dude, these are perfect.
I know. No, I think they're coach homes, she calls them. Coaches.
Because I think I'd rather want to live in, like, I've never lived in a quote unquote mobile home park.
Right.
But I lived in a campground.
Which you lived in a campground full of mobile homes.
Full of mobile homes. Little smaller ones. During that, you know, only allow you to live there legally for 6 months out of the year. The rest you're just squatting. So I don't know. But so when I hear somebody say
you're challenging the condo part.
I'm challenging the condo part a little bit. But I could be wrong because I'm sure there's a ton of condos out there as well.
So but that's not the part of the story where they live.
Okay, good.
But I feel like they're like, I think the part about the condo was to say, you know, we are nicely and neatly retired. You know, that's what I want.
Got it. Nicely and neatly.
So she said that we have sex, my husband and I, every Friday. Mm-hmm. And since we are together all the time on, you know, during COVID, what we do is we it's like a trailer, not the trailer that you're talking about, but up till Friday. So like Tuesday,
like
we start talking about it,
like
what we're
going
to do to each other.
Got it.
Wednesday gets a little closer. We start finding what we're going to eat that day and
what we're going to eat that day.
Yeah. Like hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, I thought you meant something sexual.
No.
Oh God.
And so, and then Thursday they start taking their
meds.
She said they're edibles.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that they're feeling pretty good.
Yes.
And, you know, a little bit of wine or whatever they take. I don't know. And then on Saturday after all of this, like, you know, oh, the, you know, what we're going to do to each other. And Friday finally comes and they smoke a little pot. They do a little edibles. They have a little, I don't know, charcuterie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they have, I think they take some aspirin too, who knows?
Yeah.
The small kind.
Just from a practical stance, I'm thinking there's not a lot of eating before the lovemaking.
No, especially vegetables.
Yeah, come on. Or like Mexican food. I mean, come on. All right, go for it. Yeah. Just ain't happening. I'm like,
I'm sorry. I remember this one thing I saw on, it was an old, I am into like watching the old channels, like Cozy and like, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I just, maybe because of the time change. So that I'm in the house a little bit earlier now.
Right.
And the only thing that really interests me is like Cagney and Lacey.
Oh
and
my
like,
goodness gracious.
And one of them started out like, there's this ambulance and it turns on its siren and it's just rushing through traffic, swerving. And it's like, oh my, and the two are talking and the guy goes, he's driving and he goes, that's the last time I'll ever have a bean burrito for lunch. And he's like, going, has to go to the bathroom and he turns on the siren.
That was hysterical.
Yeah.
That was hysterical.
Yeah. I just love that. But anyway, So Friday comes after all of this, like, hinting and what they're going to do. And just, they're, like, so hot to trot. They finally have their COVID success sex.
Awesome. Good for them. How long were they married, did they say?
45 years.
Congratulations.
45 years.
That you're still into it.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Once a week. But the thing was, they had to have a lot of props.
Right. Okay. Well,
edibles.
Point, yeah.
The actual marijuana little buds or whatever. Lots of pain med.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm thinking some porn.
I don't know.
Maybe, I'm thinking. Yeah. You know.
Possibly.
You know, and just a lot of things to prop this one day up. You know.
Well, it's interesting. I have to
say. So there really isn't any spontaneity anymore.
No. And I have to say this. I give them an A+ for effort.
Oh yeah.
Because you could go through your day like if it happens it happens, but at that stage you've already done it with you've done it with this guy enough times.
Yeah.
You know.
What is going to be new?
And so the idea that you're holding back your marijuana use until that time.
Yeah.
And so in some ways it's sort of like why retired people some retired people have a house up north and a house down south for a little variety. Mm-hmm. So they're not saying they're allowed to have sex all week long. They put they have a parameter like, hey, we do not have sex on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday. So that Friday, we move down south. You know, it's like
ooh.
Exactly. Exactly. They got their, it so gives them a variety.
It's the variety.
Yeah. Because yeah. most people,
yeah.
you have a variety. You go to work, you come home, you do this. There's you have
right.
different things going on all day long in your life
right.
that gives your life.
Yeah.
But if you're just stuck with your husband most yeah. of the time because of COVID
yeah.
and you're taking COVID seriously,
yeah.
I give them props.
I think it's amazing too because she obviously is not annoyed after 45 years. She's not annoyed by her husband.
That is not you.
That no, that is not. I mean,
but can I say something?
Yeah.
She has allowed herself edibles. You do not allow yourself edibles.
Yeah. If I did that, maybe I wouldn't be so annoyed.
Or at least you wouldn't be annoyed on Friday.
On Friday.
I mean, you know, so I think that is a key. I would have to talk to somebody who's an aficionado.
An edible expert?
An edible expert. Thank you. There must be like, what's, is it Salome?
You could talk to one of your faux daughters.
I guess. My faux daughter, she's an edible expert. And I've actually thought about talking to her because I'm afraid to take edibles because I drive a truck. But come Thanksgiving, I might get a whole week off. And I'd like to then take it like on the first day.
Yeah.
So that it's out of my system by the time I go back to work
yeah.
and try it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's so cool.
But. I mean,
why don't we just do it together?
We could, but I know that different edibles do different things.
Right.
I don't want to be trippy. I don't want to be paranoid, but I like to take the edge off.
Then, well, you just can't, from what I understand, in terms of if you do too much, that's when you got to know your limit. You got to know just to get the perfect buzz.
Right. Also, it kind of builds. So where you think nothing's happening and you go, I'll take another hit or mm-hmm. another bite of that brownie. Mm-hmm. And here is the thing. How dare they put it in like sweet things? Because like, oh, here's a brownie for you. Now mm-hmm. a serving size isn't as a quarter. Like, well, don't give me the whole brownie then. You know, cut it into fours.
Right.
Because I want to eat the whole brownie.
Yeah, because you like brownies.
I like brownies.
Yeah.
You know, don't make it like that. Come on, what's wrong with you people? So I'm curious. I'm curious how like the couple in Florida, you know, do they had to go to
An edible expert?
An edible expert. You know, when I was working at Jewel.
I like to know where they're getting their edibles.
There's a lot of places now because it's legal.
It's legal. Yeah, just like Oregon. Oregon made not only pot and all that stuff, but heroin.
Yeah,
meth,
Oregon the state, yes.
Crack.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you thought our little
Oregon,
town next to us?
Yeah. Exactly. So congratulations, Oregon. It's no longer illegal to get high stoned.
Yeah.
Heroin.
Yeah.
There's going to be a blowback to that. I'm not sure what it will be.
Or just a blow.
Just a blow.
Yeah.
I'm happy not to have these things criminalized, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, me too.
There were people and family members that prayed that their kid on crack or heroin or whatever would get arrested because it would at least end this cycle of mm-hmm. abuse or something, you mm-hmm. know. But now if it's not illegal, what's their next?
Yeah,
we have to we have to replace it with a healthier way.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get there. I don't know.
I can't even go there.
No.
But anyway, you talked about being a truck driver.
Yes.
I do know you have one trucking story.
Well, okay,
that involves some nudity.
Involves
thank
some
God
nudity.
It's not yours.
Well, okay, so let's just be real here. If you have a sleeper in your truck is not just your vehicle, that your business, your office. It could also be your abode. Is that another name for a house?
Yes, it is.
And I'm thinking it could be a studio, because I've seen those Japanese studio apartments.
Yeah.
They are literally a tube.
Yeah.
You rent a tube and you slide
right.
into a tube.
I've seen that. You get off go to the airport and you want to get a little sleep, you go into your tube.
Yes.
Oh, don't say tube. It sounds like tubing.
Tubing.
You go into your tube and do your tubing.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, please, people, we're still doing Zoom, so let's not tubinize Zoom.
That's right.
I this is your home as well.
I call
studio.
It a loft.
A loft is perfect, by the mm-hmm. way. So I'm over in Hormel, which is the company I go
you
to.
You know Hormel Chili?
But this place is called Progressive Processing, which I'm not sure why.
It's so scary.
Instead of calling it Hormel, they call it Progressive Processing.
It's so
I'm
scary,
like, what
Jewel?
The hell?
What this are they processing to make that chili?
And I'm thinking, if we add the word progressive to this, PETA will not know who we are. No way. No way in hell.
Also, it doesn't really matter what kind of meat you use as long as you season it properly.
Exactly. For sure.
So you're at Hormel, our Progressive.
Right. And it's product. A small location. And I'm supposed to drop and hook and back up. And I have cleaned out my trailer and I'm pulling out. And this trucker backs underneath his trailer right away, which is fine. But he's right next to my trailer that I had to pick up. And these trailers are tight together. So there's not a lot of room for us to be next
there
to each
other. There is literally no room.
No. So I decide to wait until he hooks up and pulls out so I can back
That's
underneath my trailer.
That's my Julie.
And so I,
You're
and
so I, polite.
Right. And so I'm doing
Genius
that.
Brain.
Genius
polite.
Brain. Polite. Not mourning the children I never had.
No.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
A little druggies.
Yeah, exactly. And then I realize, oh, he's taking his clothes off.
How do you realize this?
I see him naked.
Okay. I was like, okay, Jill, just say it.
Now, this is not the first naked trucker I saw that day,
no.
yesterday.
No.
I was driving, and I'm like, that trucker is driving with no top on. I go, well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then my second thought is, I wonder if he's got pants on. I mm-hmm. doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, well, doesn't that seatbelt chafe a little bit on your bare naked skin?
Yeah.
And, but maybe he could have been, okay, I'm going to tell you guys a little trick of the trade. If you're a little tired or jumpy, you've been driving for a while, or
you take your top off.
You take your top off and drive topless.
I know, Jill. I've seen it.
I've seen you do it. I have gone
and you throw water on yourself.
I have thrown water on myself just
ice
because
water.
You're like, I got good sleep. I'm just a little punchy. Shit, there's crap on the radio. Now with podcasts, it's just if you can't find something, you just don't want to listen because there's tons of podcasts out there. However, I have gone through periods where I'm like, this is crap. This is crap. This is crap.
Then you just got to listen to us, Julie.
I do. And I never say this is crap.
Oh,
I
good.
Say, hey.
Oh, good.
Good job. Good job.
Good job. Pat on the back, Julie.
So he's dropping his top, took his top off, dropped his pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ah. Oh. I didn't feel insulted or embarrassed.
No.
I felt like this is going to be a little longer than I thought it was going to be. But now at this point, because with a semi, you have what I like to call drapes. You know, you can put the drapes across, give mm-hmm. yourself a little privacy. Mm-hmm. He knows I'm there. We've already connected eyes to eyes.
No.
Like, yeah, he doesn't know I'm here.
And he's not taking care of the drapes?
He's not taking care of the drapes. So
what do they all say? Do the drapes and the carpeting match?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so forth. And we go, I don't know. Do they match? I don't know.
Yeah.
He was bald, so I can't tell you. So at some point, they didn't match. Okay. So, and then I go, hold on 1 second. So anyway, we're having a little technical difficulties, but hopefully it's all going to be okay. We'll see.
Cross fingers.
Cross your fingers. Yes, cross our fingers. So anyway, I'm waiting. And he knows I'm here. And I'm just like, okay, we're playing this game where he doesn't mind me seeing his butt naked mm-hmm. body. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a cute little body. I'm mm-hmm. fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel whatever.
Microaggression.
No,
or
I felt
macroaggression.
Like, hey, this guy is trying to work himself up to meet his lady when he gets home so that he, you know, they can have a little, you know, Monday,
Friday thing.
A Friday thing. Yeah. I don't know. But at some point I start getting a little pissed.
Yeah, because he's taking too long.
He's taking too long. I'm like, I got to back underneath my trailer.
Yeah, you got to drop and hook.
I got to drop and hook.
For people who don't
I've
know what
dropped.
That means.
I've got to hook.
Oh, you got to, dropping your trailer and then hooking up to another one.
Yes, which I've already
it's
dropped
pretty
my trailer.
Quick, yeah.
And so he finally changes his clothes. And I have to say this. In a semi, if you have to go to the bathroom and you have the apparatus in your truck to go to the bathroom, it is a lot easier to derobe and then go to the bathroom because
it's a lot safer, too.
It's a lot safer. Yeah, because you just got, you don't have the space to like, oh, man, I didn't pull my pants down all the way.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So I'm cutting him some slack. But first off, do you think I should have at some point like honked? Like saying, hey, honk, honk, I'm backing up.
Yeah.
Or just like stayed there. Yeah. Take my half hour break anyway.
He had to know that you were waiting for him.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. He had to have known I was waiting for him.
So, but he was just like, what am I going
to
do?
And at some point, when I knew he wasn't pulling the drapes to disrobe, he's like, okay, he doesn't mind me watching him.
Right.
So I will. There are some people who are voyeurs and some people who are voyeuristic and some people who are existentialists. No, no. Exhibitionist.
Oh, good one. You said existentialist. That's great.
He could have been an existentialist. But I don't know.
Don't know.
But he was an exhibitionist. Yeah. And so what does an exhibitionist need? A voyeur. And I said, there you go.
Oh, there's a lid for every pot.
And then mom would say, man, your brain works wonderfully. That's right. Instead of feeling like insulted or assaulted, I said, dude, I will be your voyeur to your exhibitionist.
Right.
You know, so you're welcome.
And then and then he finally just left.
He left and took off and we didn't even acknowledge each other. Which I felt a little bit I had looked towards him, he ignored me, and I thought, well, now I feel like we've had a connection.
Yeah, and now
now this is how you treat me at the end.
Wham bam, thank you, man.
Yeah, what is that about? Like F you. Yeah. A little bit of a nod. I'm on the trucker nod, you know. Hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Dude. That's what I do. I just say dude.
Hey, dude.
A nod.
You know, it's not the downward. It's going up. Hey.
It's up. Yeah.
It's up. What's up, good? Yeah. Like, yeah, I saw you naked.
Yeah.
You knew I saw you naked. But to now ignore me, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, how dare you? Now I feel jilted. I didn't earlier. Now I feel jilted. But what am I going to do?
Yeah.
It is what it is. So I heard another story, a couple stories I want to share while trucking. And one is, you know, the news is so fake, right?
Fake news.
Fake news everywhere. So Alexa, how old is Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt is 56 years old.
Oh, good for him.
He was born on December 18th,
1963. He's a Sagittarius.
Wow,
like me.
He's a Sag.
That's right, a Sag. Sorry, I like the name of that.
So tell me about Brad Pitt, Julie.
Well, he broke up with his girlfriend.
Who was it? I didn't even know he was dating somebody.
Exactly. Hello, don't have my glasses on. Her name is Nicole Porter-Olasky. Alexa, how old is Nicole Porter-Olasky, the model?
Here's something I found on the web.
Oh, good.
According to IthacaJournal.com, she was 47 years old.
No.
Did that answer your question?
No, that's okay.
Just let it be.
Anyway, she's a young model.
Thanks for your feedback.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Thank you. 27. So 30 years difference.
Yeah, 30 years difference.
A little backstory. You know, nowadays, it's not uncommon in your outer family members to have like a poly. We have somebody in our family member that's a poly that has multiple partners and so forth.
Right.
So it's just not uncommon anymore to hear this. But it was all up in the news that Brad Pitt broke up with his girlfriend, of Nicole, so-and-so, and she's 27. I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was dating.
Mm-hmm.
And his rep said it wasn't a very serious thing. I'm like, oh, okay, then why do I even care? And here's why I care. Because the news makes you crazy. Because the truth is, Nicole is already married to an older guy, and they have an open relationship. So,
interesting is that?
He's a restaurateur. I think his name
is... A restaurateur?
Yes, a restaurateur. Thank you. And I think, if I'm reading the story right, he gave her a hall pass.
For Brad Pitt.
Yes. And so... I thought to myself, lucky bitch, because he's my hall pass.
Brad Pitt is?
Yes. Keanu Reeves is.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, but yeah. Brad, I would, I don't, I think Brad, I think I'm going to get away with Brad Pitt as well.
Brad Pitt's getting more interesting as he gets older.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, see, people remember his body in Fight Club.
Yeah.
And also he had an interesting body in Troy, which was a little bit different than Fight Club body.
Yeah.
Fight Club body was like tiny muscles. Like, oh my God, you're little, but you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know? And then he had like a phenomenal body in Once Upon a Time in the Valley. Oh, no, Once Upon a Time in...
Oh, it was cool.
Yeah, in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That was cool.
Yeah. And you're like, how does this guy do it? It's pretty amazing.
Who is the other guy in that movie?
DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which was funny because I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And first off, did they
have a prior open relationship, or was just
no?
Just
I think
like,
they have just a quote unquote an open relationship.
They do.
Yes.
So that she can okay, not just oh, just for a hall pass, I will give
no,
you
no,
this.
No, no, no. You're right. That's a good good qualifier. You're right. He didn't give her a hall pass. He really just married.
Yeah.
And she gets to and probably
and does he.
I'm sure. And possibly the cost of being married to a young model is, hey, I'll let you screw anybody you want to screw.
Right.
And guess what? I make enough money that you can come home, I'll take care of you, whatever, and I get to say I'm married to a model.
Yeah.
I don't. It all feels a little bit on the...
It's so interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't think it has anything to do at that level about money.
No, because she's a model.
It just is what you want to do.
Right. It is what you want to do.
Also, I would think
what's the point of being married? That's what I don't get. Yeah. Like, why get married?
Well, no, because... No, see, the thing is...
Like, why? I mean, like, I'm not married, so I'm not saying it's a sanctity. Like, oh, my God. But, like, what is the point
of
it?
No, but Jules. Okay, so I think we just have to take a chill pill.
Now, Did you just tell me to calm down?
Jules?
Did you just tell me to chill? Chill? How dare you?
I think, okay, so you wanted to know if they're swingers. Now, swinging is be different, you know? Like,
right, because that would prove, I think, that's couples like, go in together.
Yeah, so, and so.
Like but, if Brad and, Pitt was the unicorn in that relationship. We don't know that. He could have come home to them.
But just the idea of just having an open relationship, I think, would mean that if indeed you met someone and it got to a level where you wanted to explore that and your partner knew.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all like however you had your rules.
Right.
Then, you know, advice and vice versa. Or right. Maybe that wasn't the rule.
Right.
But I mean, there's like a lot of stuff that has to go first.
Okay.
And to talk about. To get to that level of quote unquote open relationship.
Got it. Okay.
Especially if you're married.
Right.
Especially if you want that relationship to stay.
Well,
but
right.
But my feeling is at some point when you enter into a marriage with someone and you know you're going to be an open marriage or whatever, I don't think you're going to, you know, make the 50-year mark.
Okay. And that's just because of our closed-mindedness, you know?
Possibly.
I mean, this is just because I come from a place where I'm not married, so I always feel like, why get married? What are the benefits to getting married?
And
if you're
seen,
in a poly.
You've seen your parents married.
Yeah. Well, yes. I see the benefits of getting married if you're going to have kids.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Right.
But I'm not necessarily sure I see, but it's sweet. It's a sweet idea. And, but then again, like I hear Dan Savage and I hear people talk about how it could be done successfully.
Right.
And I also know that
there's only been a couple times in my life where I think that I could have had, if I'd had an open marriage, I would have been able to have a, you know, an affair or something.
Right.
One was with a physician.
I know.
And, but see, in those days, you just would have had an affair.
Right.
You wouldn't dare go, oh, by the way, honey,
yeah.
I'm going to do this. But my very first therapist, who I adored, she was an ex-nun, mm-hmm. and her husband was an ex-monk or something.
Right, okay.
And twice a year, they gave each other hall passes.
Mm.
So I guess that would equal like four times a year.
Okay, yeah.
So two for him, two for her.
Okay.
And she would always do priests, ex-priests or priests. And he would always do, I mean, they had a...
Is there a newsletter going on? Because back in that day, they didn't have the internet.
They know, Julie.
It's a newsletter kind of
Some
thing.
Some kind of a thing.
Okay.
But that was an agreed upon
like
thing.
Like guns and ammo, it would be nuns and priests. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was an agreed upon thing.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
But in my kind of generation, you kind of just had an affair. You snuck around.
Yeah.
You hope you didn't get caught.
And that probably was more of the adrenaline rush about the whole thing anyway.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, see, so you can see how it's evolving. And because now with apps today, no one has to sneak around. They can say, hey, I'm in a married, you know, I'm in a relationship. I'm married.
Well, that would be the app.
That would be the app.
Yeah. I'm in a.
I'm married.
That's the, and I'm looking to sneak around.
That's the app. .com.
Yeah.
.com. And are you married and looking to sneak around too? I remember listening to, well, like listening to Evis Dan Savage, and then also listening to Tim Ferriss mentioned this, and he said that he's met several couples that had quote unquote open relationships. And he goes, the ones that were open about their open relationships, those relationships eventually just imploded. Like, meaning like the meaning marriages were, never succeeded.
If they were open to about
being open, like, hey, tell me what you want. Tell me everything you that happened. Okay, I want to know everything.
Oh, got it.
But the idea that, hey, we have this, we're married, we're building this life together, we have children, and we have a do not ask, do not tell policy.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Don't ask, don't
tell. D-A-T-D-T.
Yes. And those seem to work out better than the ones of being totally
right,
honest.
Right.
Now, I think that you can have a don't ask, don't tell policy with rules. And the rules could be such as you can only have sex with one person one time and then you got to move on. Because I think if you're going to start having sex with a person more than once, it starts to become a relationship. And I think that starts to go on to cheating.
Well,
like cheating emotionally.
Yeah. Well, poly, what is poly?
But poly is like
emotional connection.
Yeah. But see, here's my, I think that poly could work, but it's only because of my brain not thinking it in the right way.
Right.
Because I always think of it as like a little cult, like, you know, a little
sister
culty.
Wives.
Sister wives, a little yeah. culty. You know, but like, hey, if you're happy, you're happy, you know?
Yeah.
But, and like, I can barely take care of my own life.
I'll say. You can't get your leg shaved.
Exactly. And so I guess with Doug and I, it's a do not, don't ask, don't tell policy. I'm pretty sure he can't get his lazy ass off the couch for another girl, but you know. and sometimes I think he swings the other way for all I know. I don't know.
I think the latter is more true.
Yeah.
And he'll get his ass off the couch for his bros.
Yes, he will. I know he will. And so you know, we all have our
crosses to bear.
Our pods. Oh. We all have our pods and our crosses to bear. But we all have our pods. Exactly. So I say, hey, to each their own. Go for it.
That is
Enjoy,
such an
love.
Interesting comment, though, commentary, you know, that even that Brad Pitt would be. So I will definitely date you knowing that you have an open relationship.
Yes.
I think I might not have wanted to get into that.
Right. Or maybe he goes, thank the hell God, she's not expecting anything from me except for sex.
Right.
Woohoo! I won the lottery. Yeah.
But Julie, Brad Pitt could win the lottery every stinking day of his life.
I'm just saying, maybe deep down he thinks that he doesn't want to be tied down to anybody.
Well, also, he's a Midwest boy.
Yeah.
Midwest values. Much better.
I say yes to that.
Yes.
I say yes. Mm-hmm. And I always believe, I truly believe in the Dan Savage way, which is you need to leave, like the campground rules. You leave it better than when you found it. So you're dating somebody, leave it better, leave that person better than when you found them. You know, and sometimes that's not possible, but oh well. You do your best.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You decide, I'm going to clean your bedroom up for you.
Yeah.
So that when I leave.
it's hard to find a campground or to leave a campground better than when you found it, though.
That's true. You're totally true.
Yeah.
Now, the other story I want to bring up, I find this story tragic and wild.
Is it going to be the one I know about?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that
the Black Dahlia?
No, you can talk about that.
No.
Did you know that they actually use monkeys in Thailand to collect coconuts for the coconut milk and coconut water that we buy here in the States?
They use them as workers?
Yes.
No. That is so amazing.
It's amazing. And PETA, I've said PETA now twice this episode, which I don't usually do.
Yeah.
So basically,
which you don't usually do, Jilly. we check it off after every episode.
You have a limit.
Did you say PETA?
Yeah.
And how many times?
I said it in regards to my sandwich. I'm a pita sandwich.
Pita butta and jelly.
Yeah. But not PETA. So yeah, but I guess the PETA is up in arms about this.
Why?
Because when they're not picking coconuts, they're not treated very well.
Oh, but they're treated good when they're picking coconuts.
Well, they're just picking coconuts, and I would think that's what they do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I didn't know.
I don't find this bad.
Well,
am I wrong?
No, I don't. I didn't necessarily either.
Because we have dogs that work, you know, like.
Yeah.
We have dogs that, like, find people buried in avalanches.
Yeah. And if you watch Alaska, I wonder what PETA would say about those dogs up there.
Yeah.
Because when they're not running,
they're just chained up.
They're chained up.
Yeah.
And, but when they're running, they're like, we're running, woo.
Yeah.
But when they're not running, they're chained up.
Because otherwise they'd be running.
They'd be running.
Catch me, sucker.
They're like Forrest Gump of dogs. They're like, we just run, mm-hmm. run, can't stop us. So, but I found it fascinating that we use, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that like a human can get like 35 to 60 coconuts an hour, you know, plucking in from trees. But a monkey can get like 300 to 400 an hour.
Holy crap.
You know, and I'm like, whoa.
Now, are those the same monkeys that when they eat the coffee beans and then they poo them out?
Could be.
It makes delicious coffee.
Yeah, so they're multitasking.
God, those poor monkeys.
I know.
They're pooing. They're collecting their poo. They're making them.
Well, it was interesting because the other day, Elliot had a vet appointment, and I had to collect his poop. And
I know.
And he was very fascinated that not only did I collect his poop, that I took such good care of collecting his poop and put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And I just said, this is what's happening today.
Yeah.
Little man, today I'm honoring your poop as the most highest of high things. He's like, all right, this is awesome. I love it. Good.
Well, that visit was, you know, $140 later.
Yeah.
Your dog's poop looks good. I can remember though that same vet with Molly, giving her their and really literally was full of worms.
We could see it. I could see it.
And they were like, oh, she's fine. And then you said, well, what is that in her poo then?
Yeah, I said, I'm not.
What are those moving things?
I'm not trying to contradict your professional opinion, doctor. But like, if you go back and just look, like, what are those things moving in her poop?
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, let me go look.
There is that look of like caught,
exactly,
caught on camera.
It's the same look that I got from Dad's physician's assistant after his heart attack, and he wasn't recovering.
Yeah.
And I went with him to the doctor, and he's like, oh, Norm, you just got to get over this. You know,
You're
not feeling well. You got to go out there and
play some cards.
Yeah, play some cards and friends. You know, smoke. Yeah, I'm like, he didn't do that before. You know, it's not a Tampax commercial, you know, where he puts to ride horses and, you know,
archery.
All this stuff. That's not who he is.
Yeah.
And then I finally said to the doctor, I said, I've been waiting here quietly to see if my dad would tell you what's going on, but he obviously is not. And I don't know this to be true, but my mother has told me that his testicles are the size of grapefruits. He just dropped his head. Literally, it wasn't an energetic drop. He physically dropped his head in his lap, the doctor did, the physician's assistant.
Yeah.
And then told me to leave so he could check the beans and Franks. And I'm like, you're a physician's assistant, not a doctor. That's right. That's how you guys talk about it.
I can say beans and Franks.
Yeah, physician's assistants can say beans and Franks. Doctors can't. And that requires the other 4 years of training. Testicles and balls, your testes or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of funny because we have a doctor in our family and she always says, she goes, I always get offended when physician's assistants say we're like doctors, but with heart and soul. And she's like, No, you're not. And I'm like, no, because physician's assistants, they have a comedy course as part of their repertoire.
Yeah.
Because they're allowed to have a sense of humor.
Yeah. It's not like you have a heart and soul. You just have a sense of humor.
You have a sense of humor. Yeah. No heart and soul.
Yeah.
You're allowed to make up funny words for things. But doctors are like, no, I went through all this training. I'm calling it what it is.
I got to say the right words.
I got to say the right words. This is crazy. Crazy talk. So go ahead. I introduced you to a podcast this week. It's a show, which I love these podcasts because it was an 8-episode contained podcast.
Right. Well, I don't know what to say about it other than it was spooky and eerie.
Yes.
And true. And it's not like I had not, like I've seen documentaries on the Paranormal Channel.
Oh, you have. Because okay, I've not.
Because they've done the house.
Okay.
And you know there's supposed to be spirits and all this stuff.
Oh.
But this is about George Hodel, and he has never been proven to be the Black Dahlia's murderer.
Right.
But it's
pretty obvious.
It's pretty. It's 99.99999%
a
fact that he is. And so Julie turned me on to this podcast, and I would recommend it. It's called The Root of All Evil.
Just The Root of Evil.
The Root of Evil.
Yeah.
And so it's 8 episodes.
Uh-huh.
And it really is scary and eerie, and it's done by George Hodel was a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And he not only was he a physician, but he was a practicer of black magic, which is the magic with a Y.
Yeah.
With the G-Y-C.
And they thought that their strength came from sex.
And that's an actual practice, a Wiccan,
yes.
A dark black Wiccan practice. And not necessarily dark, because some people choose to do it, and it's like white magic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he was a dark practitioner and had groups of people that practice with him, and they would have these big sex orgies, and he was just a cruel man,
right?
And he had a wife that I think he basically kept under lock and key and would abuse her, and he had children, and the one child he mercilessly sexually abused.
So yeah,
I'll and her name was Tamar. Tamar.
Yeah.
And so Tamar has a child named Fauna.
Mm-hmm.
And Fauna has children, and these are the people that are doing the podcast.
The great grandchildren of George Hodel.
Right. And so they're doing the podcast, and it's about their memories of their great grandfather and the great grandmothers, and they also have George Hodel's son.
Yes.
His name is Steve.
Yes.
And he was a former retired LAPD police officer.
Right.
And it is just, I can't even begin to tell you how fascinating and deep and dark this rabbit hole is.
Well, it has messed me up a little bit, this podcast.
It messed me up.
Because what you realize is that this is...
And should a podcast mess you up?
Yeah, especially if you're driving, it's kind of like, whoa, this is really weird.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I go, oh, thank you, Lord, for having me having boring parents, you know? Good.
Did you say boring?
Well, like, yeah, compared to Hodel, who was a surrealist who had an IQ of 192. My mama only has an IQ of 160. You know, she's not 192, thank the Lord. Because then you start getting into that realm of where...
You're sort of godlike.
He thinks he's better than everybody else. Yeah. And so therefore he messes with people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he would.
And also he had money. So,
yeah.
And this all happened in the late 40s when, as we find out that L.A. and Hollywood is just a corrupt piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anybody and everybody can be bought off for the right price. And he has money.
Right.
So he's buying people off right and left.
Right. Oh, exactly. And I think, you know, back in the day when money was such an aphrodisiac, I don't feel it that way anymore.
No.
Because in some way, I just see no. people who are just like riddled
money
with...
Money is not an aphrodisiac anymore. You know, remember it used to be money is power.
Yeah. Also,
because I think because there really isn't any currency anymore, like
right.
people just use their card or their phone. You've lost, there's no connection.
Well, and also I feel...
And also people are so sexually privileged that you can just take a nap and have sex whoever you want with every, you know,
right,
and not have to buy them dinner.
Right. That could be true.
Or a motel room even.
Right. That's true as well. And also, though, I was thinking that for me personally, I feel at a certain amount that your a-hole quotient goes up. Like, after a certain amount of money, your a-hole quotient might go up.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't need that in my life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, I know you're a billionaire. I'm guessing you got a billion a-holes.
Oh, I think I think a-hole quotients go up, even with just a little bit of money. People just start to, and which just goes to show that how, I think, weak they feel about themselves.
Right. Right. I could be wrong about this. I'm not saying for everybody, but I'm saying that in a lot of ways, I have evidence that this is true.
Yeah. It's just kind of, they're kind of douchebags.
Kind of, you know? Yeah. And you're like, okay. I'm like, dude, you won the lottery. Give me a break, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a break. So I don't mean to be judgy, you know?
Maybe
You know, that's just kind of how I'm feeling at the moment, yeah. You know?
But anyway, so this, but this, okay, I'm trying to figure out like how to say about the Black Dahlia, which her name was Elizabeth Short.
Short.
And she was an actress, I think. Or wannabe actress. But there are pictures of George Hodel and her, I think.
Yes.
And I think the Steve, the son, finds this receipt for five bags of concrete.
Yes.
And he realizes that when they find the body, you know, it's all surgically
separated
and stuff, and there were bags of concrete near it, and so he realizes that George, who had just bought this concrete, had put the body and body parts in these bags and then transported it to the park or wherever,
right,
taken it out and then laid it there,
right.
So, I mean, I'm surely everybody knows the story.
Everybody knows the story. And here's some of the, I think, fascinating things is like his son, Steve, who wrote the book and had investigated it. And he didn't know that his father was ever investigated as a suspect.
Right.
He only found out after his dad died at the age of 90. This man lived to be 90 years old.
Yeah.
Had 11 kids, 5 wives, had a huge life.
Yeah.
And was a fucking a-hole. I mean, then this is when you think, this is why I go, the world's not fair.
Right.
This guy had lived, and he committed suicide at the tender age of 90. Because I guess he just didn't want to, you know, he knew he was declining, and he just went out in a drug bay, you know, drug filled haze. But it's hard for me because this story here gets, it's a fascinating story, but this is where it cuts me at my unfairness in the world, because this man got away with murder. He also killed his secretary, most likely.
Yes, he did.
Because she had evidence against him of
something else,
a blackmailing patients, basically,
right.
Because he was head of the VD.
Venereal disease?
Yes. Back in the day, L.A. had a VD doctor that you'd have to go to get cleared and all this stuff. And he was it.
Wow.
So he would blackmail people. He would also tell people they had VD and that for $80 or $100, he would get rid of it. And even if they didn't have it.
Wow.
And this is when things started getting real crazy.
Yeah.
But he would have no problem drugging people to let them do what they wanted to do.
Right.
He hated women.
Yeah.
He loved them and hated them.
Yeah. He was a misogynist.
For sure. Yeah. And he considered himself an artist, a wannabe artist.
Right.
And so,
and he hung around with all these surrealists.
Right. And when you hear them talk, and this is, like I said, it got to my core because they really were the worst of humanity.
Because they think weird. They look at life weird. And
they think they're so effing privileged.
We're an hard teeth.
And they think they're so much better than everybody else, and they just did nothing but cause grief to everyone they met. Mm-hmm. Everyone. But they thought, well, this is just, you know, we're better than everybody else.
Holly weird for you.
Yeah, Holly weird. You go, girl. And so at some point, he's bringing, you know, people over for their black magic of sex and all that. And eventually he seduces his daughter to come on board and be a part of the orgies and impregnates his daughter. She has an unlawful abortion. The thing is, his daughter, Tamar, ends up being sexually messed up too. and extremely.
Really?
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Who would have figured that out?
Yeah.
So the one thing you want to say that even if you think, because you'd hear stories about the only reason why we're messed up with sex is because of our
Christian Puritan background.
Yeah. Okay, no, he programmed
yeah.
his kids to be this way or yeah. tomorrow to be this way. Yeah. And guess what? She was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't go, oh, okay, this is healthy.
Also, she was a friend of Michelle Phillips from the yeah. Mom and Papas.
And you're going, what a small effing world, right?
Yeah.
What a small effing world. Everything's like, everything.
That was the canyon.
That was the Mom loves that movie.
I like saying that.
I know. You love that movie, The Canyon.
In the Canyon.
Echo in the Canyon. So you love that documentary. I have to say, here's what I do know. Never have sex with children. It messes them up. And I consider a child, anybody under the age of 7, if you're 20, over the age of 18, don't touch anybody under the age of 18.
Right.
Just don't. There are plenty.
There are plenty of apps out there where you can go.
Yes,
and
if you need to touch somebody under the age of 18 and you're 18, wait 12 months till they turn 18. Just have that fine line in the sand. And then you don't have to think about all the, you know, like later in life, that person's like, I was so damaged by our relationship. No, you just don't do it. Don't do it. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. Just don't do it.
Oh, Jill, you're so cool.
There you go.
You're so cool.
That's my, but I can recommend.
If you want to be a little scared,
yes,
it's a little eerie. 8 episodes,
and I tried watching
The Root of Evil.
Yeah, I think it was called Into the Night, that short series on TNT or TBS. I think it was TNT about this story, based mm-hmm. on the story. I tried watching it. I just couldn't get into it.
Was it about this
yes.
thing? Okay. Yeah, see, there's been many iterations
yes.
about this.
But I really did not know that they definitely solved this case.
Mm-hmm.
And they, quote unquote, did not solve it. It's right. an unsolvable case. It's a cold case.
Right.
They're not going to open it up.
They don't want to open it.
And so,
like Steve, the son, said, I've got lots of proof here. I need you to reopen this case.
And they said no.
And they said no.
And like, okay.
We're not taking the
right.
the manpower away.
I'm like, why not just put this to rest? I'm sure their family.
Because I think the bones are buried really, you know.
Yeah.
Deep.
And yeah, it's a, if you listen to this, it's sort of like listening to the Epstein
yeah.
stories.
Yeah.
And or even the Harvey Weinstein stories
yeah.
where you're going, this stuff is going on for way too long. Why didn't somebody just stop it?
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't somebody just F and stop it?
Yeah.
Because men who have that kind of disposable income,
mm-hmm.
they feel they can buy their way out of anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their consequence should be mm-hmm. that people around them should walk away more often.
Well, I think they also have lawyers.
Yeah.
The kind of lawyers that can get them
right.
anything they need.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. And there are companies, if you listen to the Harvey Weinstein stuff, there are actually companies, the Black Cube or whatever it was called,
right.
that you could hire them to get you out of
anything.
Any yeah. situation.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. How dare we?
Also, too, like, you really understand that we all live in our little bubbles.
Yes.
Because we would have no, like, you know, like, we used to always say that people could get off of a bus, and if they were kind of looking for drugs, they would find it in a minute or two.
And we're like,
I wouldn't know where
to look. I wouldn't know where to start.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
What do? You hold a sign up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we should, before we hang up. Mm-hmm. On this, we should mention something about the election.
Okay.
Maybe. And here's where I'm going to start.
Okay.
When I was in grade school, I had this girl. I used to, like, always be afraid to be around her because if she ever got close to me, she smacked me in the nose.
Oh.
Like really, really hard. I mean, my nose would bleed.
Oh, my God.
And I thought she was going to break my nose.
Yeah.
And she did it. I mean, if I was not even looking at her, she, you know, came up upon me and I didn't see her, she hit me in the nose.
Okay.
And also, too, when I was even younger than that, my younger brother was getting in a fight with an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped in between them and I said, don't hit my brother like that.
Right.
And I was a young kid. And the guy just took both his hands and pushed me in the chest and like t- touch my boobies,
yeah,
whatever they yeah, whatever they were,
right,
and push me back.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like, those were bullies.
Yeah.
And I've never been a bully. I've uh-huh, always been the kid that got,
right,
you know, taken advantage of by a bully.
Uh-huh.
Like when I moved to a new school, like the bullies would take my desk and turn it over and all my stuff would fall out of my desk,
right,
and stuff like that. And I think that the bully lost in the election.
Okay.
That's just what I'm thinking.
Got it.
And I'm saying that because one of the last nights I was watching Trump do a one of his big rallies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they had this great big screen. He goes, I want you to see a little bit about, you know, my opponent. And then he clicked on the big screen. And it was like, I don't know, years and years of just Biden making verbal errors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, I mean, just nothing but like what we yeah, would call bloopers.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like cringing.
Yeah.
You know, that, and it just reminded me of how I felt when he made fun of that reporter. And it was just like, it was like at that moment, and it was like, because everybody goes like, oh, but don't look at that. Look at the policies and all of that stuff. And then it's like, at that moment, all those feelings came back to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I don't want bullies anymore.
Right.
I think it's just mean.
Yeah.
I just think it's creepy. And if yeah, that's what, you know, what money and, you know, your access to all your, you know, lawyers and sue everybody first, I'm like, no, no.
And there you go.
And that's just my say-so.
Yeah. That video did something to you.
That video physically did something to me and turned me off.
Yeah.
And it was like 15 minutes long.
And you're like, what the hell am I seeing here?
Yeah. Why do that?
Yeah.
How does that make you better?
Right. Well, that's interesting.
How does that make you good?
Yeah. All right, girlfriend, how's the show?
Sorry. Sorry.
Was it great? Hopefully it was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great.